for Hanukkah. Besides the traditional foods of sukkanyot and jelly donuts and potato lattes, potato pancakes, what are the other traditional foods?
Actually, cheese. Supposed to eat dairy.
And
dairy and fried.
Yeah.
Fried
oil. Right.
Fried cheese.
The question is, how come they don't make dairy-filled donuts?
Why is it cheese? Why is it? This is right in the Mishnah Berurah you're reading.
Yeah, it says that the miracle was that she fed him cheese and got him to sleep and then cut him off.
She fed him cheese so he got thirsty.
Right.
And filled up with wine.
Right. And put him to sleep and then
chopped his head off.
Okay.
So another boy losing his head for a good-looking Jewish girl.
The what?
Another boy losing his head over a good-looking Jewish girl.
Right. Okay. You ready? Is it on?
So cheese, sukkanyot. Potato latkes.
Oil. I mean, anything in oil.
Anything in oil. Any other traditions for oil?
No, I don't understand. Mishnah Berurah doesn't really discuss what we eat necessarily. Oil and dairy.
Oil and dairy. Okay, you're on.
Okay. All right, so we're holding on Tafresh Ayin Zayin in the Mishnah Berurah, the din of a guest at somebody's house for Hanukkah time. So we're saying, so if someone is a guest and they're not lighting for him in his own house, he needs to give a little bit of money to the house owner, to his host, in order that he can join with him for the oil and of the mitzvahs. Now we're saying basically this is a case of, let's say, a married kollel guy. He happens to be traveling away for Hanukkah and he's not in his own house. And if his wife is not going to be lighting for him, then he needs to join up for the mitzvah. Now, if he has his own doorway, meaning like if he has a room that opens up into a courtyard, let's say, or something where people would think that he should be lighting, he has to light himself then. Because we're concerned that he's not lighting. People are going to think, they're not going to know that he's just a guest in that house. They're going to think, why isn't that doorway, you know, lighting, have a menorah in it. So he needs to light there. Now, even though even though it's not a specific house, like a special house for him, rather he's just sleeping there and he's just eating there with the host, so he's supposed to light then. And also, so too, meaning for a son who's eating by his father. And the Rama says that nowadays that we light inside, you're supposed to light where the place that you eat. And that's what we're accustomed to. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah then says, let's see here. We're saying like a bacher who learns and he's not at home. Okay, a bacher or a married guy, but a bacher, let's say, and his parents aren't lighting for him. But we said, remember, so Ashkenazim, everyone would light. And Sephardi is you light for, you know, the whole household. So assuming this guy is Sephardi, then that let's say he would be Yotzi from his father lighting or from someone else lighting. Either way, he's supposed to at least join a little bit. And this is also, for sure, a bacher is eating by himself. But if he happens to be just, if he's part of the household, or basically like he's been living there a long time, let's say, and he's the Ben Bias, and you know he's supported from this household, so then he doesn't have to give a pruta for it because basically he's part of the family. So you can just rely on that. And nowadays, if he doesn't have to light himself, rather if he wants to be mahadran, he can light also. Now, if they're not lighting for his house, like his wife is lighting for him Hanukkah candles in his house, he fulfills his obligation from her, even though he's far away. And he doesn't have to then join money. So if he has somebody lighting for him, his wife's lighting for him, and he's in Hawaii, and the wife's here, or something, or vice versa, you know, and he's traveling, so his wife can fulfill the obligation, even though he's not even in the same country there. He doesn't have to then join up with the balabai for the candles.
Does it matter that it's like a 12-hour time zone difference?
Doesn't matter. Here it just says that even though if he's b'makom rachok, he's in a far place, far away place from his house, he doesn't have to join up money then. That's what I'm saying. So if the guy, you know, Hawaii to here would be how many time zones is it?
12 zones.
12 hours, right? So that's why. So anywhere around the world, if he's if he's there and somebody is having him in mind to light for him. But we'll see other opinions. It basically comes out, really, he should light, I believe, but we'll see, hopefully, Bezat Hashem, later on, what it says, you know, what we should do. They're saying that, now this is only, the Taz and the Rashal say that, this is only in the case where he knows that his wife is lighting for him. Now, if he doesn't know that, then he's supposed to light and bless. Why? Because we're saying, because he doesn't know that they're going to light for him, and he might come out and find it lit. He'd have to light. So if a guy was traveling and he comes home on the business trip on Erev Hanukkah at 8 p.m., on the first night of Hanukkah at 8 p.m., and his wife thought he's not getting back till, you know, the next night of Hanukkah at 8 p.m., so she didn't have him in mind to light. This guy would have to light. When he gets in his house, he has to light his Hanukkah candles then, because she didn't have him in mind. And he didn't fulfill his obligation from her on that. And the Magen Avraham says that if he knows in this, he should light without a bracha. Yeah. Okay, let's head pruta. He should give a little bit of money. He doesn't have to give for every candle. You just have to give basically like a little bit, like a shekel or something, just to be incorporated for this mitzvah of Hanukkah. So he basically buys a little portion of the oil. Now those that say that he needs, that the Baal HaBayit needs to add then a little bit more oil for him, that in his menorah, let's say, so in order that it'll burn longer for this guy as well. Meaning he has one menorah, he's going to light for two people. So we're saying this guy joined up with the menorah, that the Baal HaBayit should also put in enough oil then to last 1 hour, half hour for himself, and a half hour for his guest. Now, it's also, if the host gives him a share of oil as a gift, that's permitted as well. And it's as if he joined with a pruta. Now, if, any case, though, really, the guy should light his own candle. Should light at least one candle. So to join with him, Ishtatefimo, Dalet, and the Mishnah Berurah, Filim, Ochal HaShulchan Baal HaBayit, even if he's eating at this house, we don't say that he's like a member of the household, meaning like he eats all his meals there, but he's not really supported there, he's not a ben bais, even though they're just like, you can join us, you know, to eat, you pay a monthly fee, you know, $200 extra, you could have room and board, let's say, he still has to like them.
We used to call it Estentag.
Right.
Estentag in the Yeshiva system in Europe.
Saying if he has his own room here, we said like a private entrance. So the reason, this was said before, people are going to be suspected that he didn't light Hanukkah candles. Now, and even if he knows that people in his own house are lighting for him, we see in Hanukkah it plays a very big role. Suspicion. You know, we see a lot of times we have to light in, you know, like we saw said previously, if you had a two openings to two different sides of the street, and one side of the street might think, you know, walk by and say, why isn't the menorah here, when the other side of the street, that's what has it. So there's a lot of suspicion in play for Hanukkah. So again, we're saying this reason is that this guy has the light is because people would be suspected that that there's this entrance here facing the Rishus of Rabbim, and nobody lit candles there, so he has the light. So if he has his own door, if he has this door that opens up, he's saying that we have the light, so to get rid of this suspicion then. Now, la'atzmo, Zayin, we're saying Zayin is going on la'atzmo, so if he has to, by himself, he has the light. Now, this is if he has, like, his own door opening. Even if he's in a guest, even if he's just, you know, sleeping in another room, he can join up with a Baal HaBayit. Or if he's married, he can rely on his house. Now, but nowadays that we light inside, all guests, even if they're married and their wives are lighting for them, they also need to light on themselves. Because people won't know, this way people know people won't be suspected of him again, you know, that they didn't like. Now, if he joined with some money, doesn't help him for this case, meaning if he had his own room, if he had his own private entrance, private room, you know, a little basement room or something, private entrance, he still has to light on his own. We're saying there, again, he has to light. Right, again, suspicion, it says chashada many times. So that we're concerned that people will think that he didn't light. Now, we said we light with the place we're eating. But if a guy goes to his friend's house for a Sudas Chanukah, and he has, you know, he lives in the same city, he should go to his own house and light there.
First?
It doesn't say, it's basically, ideally we said the time to lighting was right after Shkia, but you could light, you know, after any time of the night, so it doesn't say here which he should do first, but he should light in his own house. He shouldn't be relying on his host or anything, and even though you're saying, well, I'm lighting in the place that I eat, doesn't matter. You have to light in your own home in that case, or he's going to be. Now, if he doesn't want to leave his place, he can tell his wife to light for him, and he could fulfill his mitzvah from that, from a shliach. Okay, now, base. So we're saying a child who reaches the age of chinuch should be lighting Hanukkah candles. And this is, we're saying, even if he wants to be Mahadran, Min a Mahadran, but even so, he only has to light one candle once he hits the age of chinuch. So you don't have to, like we said the other day, you don't have to buy him a big silver menorah to light every night. If you have the funds and you're able to do that, B'zrat Hashem, then you can. But if not, one candle does suffice for a child of chinuch age. Because it would be the same din, like if, you know, somebody joined with other people in the house, that you only have to light one candle. Now we're saying, now the Miri says that he should light and bless. Well, nowadays we say, right, okay, so we're saying basically a child does not have to light, but he should light once he gets chinuch age. Na'im gimel, we say, yesh omrim sh'afal pi sh'men likin ala b'toch beito. Even though we said, like we said above in Aleph, that people are going to light for him in his house, if he's in a place that there aren't Jews, he should light with a blessing. And the Ramah says, because you're obligated to see the candles. That's what we're accustomed to do. If he's near Jews and he could see candles, if he wants to be machmer on himself, if he wants to be stringent upon himself, then he can light for himself, and he can even light and bless on them. And that's what we're accustomed to do. So Ramah says that meaning, like, you know, obviously here in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, you walk outside, you'll see, you know, 1,000 menorahs within 5 minutes. You know, you'll see a lot of candles lit. You don't have to light for himself in that case if he's a guest in somebody's house, if he's staying over. But if he wants to, he can. But if you're in
Woodland Hills.
Okay, Woodland Hills, I don't know where that is. Where's that? New Jersey, New York?
California.
If you're in Woodland Hills, California, and there's no Jews, then you have to light for yourself, because you have an obligation to see the candles as well. Okay? So Right. It's also positive. Well, that's why, from seeing the candles. But if you're a guest at somebody's house, it's saying basically from that, you don't have an obligation necessarily to publicize the miracle yourself. Right. Somebody in the house has to publicize that miracle. It has to be publicized. So, okay.
Yeah, nowhere else.
Right, nowhere else. Obviously, for sure, you have to do it. You got the job. You got to do it. Okay. And Dalit. Okay. The leftover oil on the eighth day of Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. You can make it into a torch, and you have to burn it all up. Because mm-hmm. this is huksa, it's set aside for the mitzvah. Now, if it became mixed in with other oils, even a 60th doesn't batala, meaning, you know, if it's 1 in 60th and it became mixed in this other, it doesn't batala. And you don't add to it in order to make it batel. So you can't say, oh, you know what, I got this leftover oil, I'm going to add all this extra other oil, or vice versa, I'm going to take this little olive oil that I got left and put it in to this vat of olive oil and I can use it. Yeah. You can't. So it's mashma from here, and I believe it says basically that, like, almost you have to make a declaration when you buy this bottle of olive oil. Not to say it, but, you know, if you buy it saying, I'm buying this whole bottle for the miracle of Hanukkah to use for Hanukkah, that's now Hanukkah oil. So if you have half left, you can't use it for your salad, you know, the next night.
The only thing you can use it for, other than Hanukkah again, is as a sigula for refuah.
Right, so we're saying, so Dawud says, here's what we say, so in Mishnah Berurah, the previous nights, right, you have leftover oil from night 2 to night 3, night and so forth, you're allowed to use it then for the mitzvah of Hanukkah, the next night. Now, if it got mixed in with other oil, it's like we said above, that it doesn't get batal. Min Hashem et Sarich, so we're saying from this oil, what's going on? Except from the amount of oil that you needed, basically, then you have to burn it all. So you shouldn't put in shalonatan techila rak kishura hadlaka and then extinguish it. You shouldn't just put in enough to fulfill the mitzvah on that last night, and then you're going to extinguish it, and then you're going to have some leftover oil. This is asr, because it's muksa, and it's asr to benefit from this. But if you put in a lot of oil in this candle, then you're allowed to use it lechachila, like we said above, but you should still have in mind, so you put in enough oil to burn for 4 hours, you got all this oil left, and you make the declaration, okay, I'm only putting in for the half, and then afterwards you can benefit from this light and use it. Now, and there are those that say, the poskim say, that if you happen to put in this oil just without any declaration or anything, stop, you put it in your menorah, huksa, it's muksa, the oil, all of it, im lo, if you didn't make this tonight, in the beginning, that it's not usr, rather for the amount. That's what we're saying there. So you have to have in mind, always for this, I put in 2 hours worth of oil, I put in 2 hours worth of oil. No, you have to first say, I'm filling in my menorah with enough oil for the shear, whatever is left over, I want to be able to use and benefit from it. Then you can do that. Now, it says you have to burn it.
Mm-hmm. Can you hold it over for next year?
That's what it says right here. So Yud Tet says here, "Tanicho l'shana ba l'ner Chanukah aser." You're not allowed to keep this oil for next year to use it.
Oh, okay.
Who says that?
That's what it says. "V'sorefo b'fnei atmo t'anicho l'shana ba l'ner Chanukah aser." It's in the Mishnah Berurah. You're not allowed to save it over. "T'chashina l'takala." So we're saying it might become disgusting. You put it in a disgusting, in a kli that's disgusting, and certainly for sure you can't eat it. This is also awesome.
You keep it right, and that's for a year ago.
Right. So it depends. Right. I don't know, for eating, but for candles also. But it's saying you can't use it because we're concerned that maybe you're going to come to light it and benefit from it. So maybe, you know, you keep it in your cellar, you keep it somewhere, and all of a sudden you need oil, we're concerned, it's a gazer that you might use it for other purposes. So really, it comes out from that, then, that you should make this declaration almost when you buy it. It doesn't say meforesh in here, but we're saying if you set it aside, it's Hanukkah oil. So to me, I think you have to, you know, basically, you know, if you know how much you used last year, how much from a bottle, and you know you always have half left, you should say, I'm buying this oil, half I'm using for Hanukkah. Now, if you didn't set aside half, let's say, and you made this declaration, you said half. The half that's mundane, you could still use for the mitzvah, because it's not set aside, you could still use. So let's say you needed 3/4 of the bottle now. Mm-hmm. So it's better to say half than say, oh, 3/4 or a whole bottle. Follow?
The question I have is, I have these pre-filled
right
Hanukkah oil
And sometimes they go out or something.
No, right.
Certified oil.
It's certified oil.
Right.
And so, like, I bought 3 packs of them.
Right.
And I still have 2 left.
They don't spoil it easily.
Right. No, so I don't know if...
For 3 years.
I don't know if it counts, like, if you bought it, is that already muksa for that, in terms of, for that package, let's say you bought 3 and you only lit 2 of them. I don't know on that. You know, I mean, I don't know if it's...
I think if you ask the postman, he would tell you, first of all, the oil in that state, you can't use it for salad oil or anything else anyhow.
No, because it's a wax and an oil.
Shvoya. Okay? But Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that you're not allowed to use it for next year.
Mm-hmm.
It's an addition of the Mishneh Berurah. Because of worries, so the concern that you might use it for something else, or you might get disgusting and then you can't use it,
right,
and not be edible. But these solidified oil, I don't know how edible it is to begin with, but maybe. But you're not going to use it for anything else. It's not going to spoil because it's a concealed package. So the worries, the concerns of the Mishneh Berurah are not relevant to that type of oil.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be pretty sure if you ask of Elgrado or Rosno.
Especially since it has really good hashrana.
Yeah. Bottles also have hashrana.
Right.
Okay. But if you ask a posek, it's the same thing that I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think it deals with also Kavana in terms of, you know, when you...
We bought it for the following years.
You bought it, right. You bought it thinking, okay, you know what, it's on sale this year, buy 3 for 100 shekels, whatever it is. Okay, good deal. You don't have the Kavana necessarily to light it that year. Whereas I think a bottle of oil is almost, you know, like, you know you need oil for Hanukkah. You know you have to fulfill the obligation of buying it. So it's better to have that in mind, but with anything also doesn't. So even buying that, your prepackaged ones, you should say, this: I'm buying it, and whatever I have left, let's say I lit only 7 nights worth, whatever I've left, I want to be able to use for Shabbaskins. I want to be able to use it for other things.
Mm-hmm.
On that.
Another interesting thing with the leftover oil, after you burn, there's always a little bit left in the little cup, and there's the wick.
Mm-hmm.
Save them. Take a little...
plastic bag, a sandwich bag.
Mm-hmm. Or like the Ner Neshama has been emptied.
Mm-hmm.
You save them there. On the last day of Hanukkah, the 8th day, you sit down, you take paper and a pencil or pen, and you write Vidui. Fu Mifurat Vidui. You put it into that thing and light it. And it's a korban that completes the whole cycle from the beginning of Slichot through Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabba, to the Korban of the last day of Hanukkah for completing the cycle of the Sikha for Hashem.
Okay, so we'll hold there.
Okay.